1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Search and rescue efforts continue in Morocco after a deadly earthquake leveled small villages in and around Marrakesh. CBS's Haley Ott.
With thousands dead and injured, for many, the hope is that the toll doesn't get worse.
I'm keeping my finger crossed that the number does not keep rising up.
Morocco has declared 3 days of national mourning as the search for survivors continues. Rescue workers are trying to help people in remote mountain villages that were hit the hardest, where power and the internet has been cut off.
Meantime, aid's been pouring in from other countries, and President Biden says the U.S. is on standby. Mr. Biden in Vietnam today after wrapping up the G20 in India. Here's CBS's Christian Benavides.
It comes as U.S.-Chinese tensions persist, with China accusing the U.S. of a Cold War mentality by looking to build partnerships with other nations in the region.
I don't want to contain China. I just want to make sure we have a relationship with China that is on the up and up, squared away.
Still, while Mr. Biden was in India Saturday for the G20 summit, Chinese President Xi Jinping was noticeably absent. Also skipping the summit, Russia's Vladimir Putin.
Phoenix, Arizona beat a heat record this weekend, marking its 54th day above 110 degrees. Meteorologist Ryan Worley is with the National Weather Service.
Unseasonably strong area of high pressure over us for the past few days, and that has just really promoted these really unseasonably hot temperatures.
He says a slight cool down is coming, but most of the week will hit triple digits. Escaped murderer Danilo Cavalcante continues to outrun police in Pennsylvania after stealing and ditching a car there this morning. State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens.
After an extensive search, the vehicle was discovered abandoned in a field behind a barn in East Nantmeal Township at 10:40 a.m. Investigators have been searching the area around that location since that time.
Cavalcante has been on the run there for a week and a half now. Michigan State coach Mel Tucker's been suspended without pay as the school continues investigating him for allegedly sexually harassing a rape survivor. Athletics director Alan Haller.
Upon receiving the reports from the claimant regarding Mel Tucker, MSU's Office of Civil Rights immediately commenced a review and subsequent investigation per university protocol, using an outside third-party investigator.
Tucker claims that contact was consensual. It is a nail-biter right now at the U.S. Open, where Daniil Medvedev and Novak Djokovic are all tied up at one set apiece in their third set. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 54. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 65. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 46, partly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 65.
Blue sky smiling at me, nothing but blue sky do I see. Bluebirds singing a song, nothing but bluebirds. from now on. I never saw the sun shining so bright. I never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, oh my, how they fly. Oh, blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this September 10th, Session 36. See? I know now, Seth.
You remember now. You've got it in there.
Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, along with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habacker.
You know, tonight's show, it's a little behind the scenes thing here. He's kind of a local legend, so we had a really hard time getting him in here.
Yes, yes.
But we finally did it.
James, this is a get. This is a get for us. We asked the best listeners in radio to welcome to the WFHR stage local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel.
Holy moly. How the heck am I going to follow this? Jeez.
It is so
Thank
good
you,
to
James,
have you here.
Lord. Oh, really? It's a pleasure being with you guys.
Touching on what Seth was there, you and I have gone back and forth for almost a year trying to do this, trying to get this episode together. You're busy. I've had a weird schedule. It's just, I was telling you beforehand, you mean a lot to me. I've really enjoyed your music for many years, and I'm not alone. This community has. So we appreciate you being here, Pete.
My goodness, thank you. I'm just going to leave it at thank you. Yeah. Making old man feel good.
Let's get right into it, Pete. Okay. I want to dive into your origin story. Sure. Can you tell us where you're from, your beginnings?
Oh, sure. I was born and raised in Chicago. Mm-hmm. The first 10, 12 years on the west side in a very Polish ethnic neighborhood. And, of course, because of that, there was no such things as pianos. Mm-hmm. As you probably know, when you get into accordion was the instrument.
Yeah.
Well, I started, that was my first instrument, and I played it for about 20 years. My mom told me, I remember being there. My dad used to go on Saturdays to downtown Chicago. I believe the store was, they had a Hillman's, and he used to do a shopping. Yeah. And he took me one Saturday to Chicago. My mom said I was 5 years old at the time, and he took me to the Chicago Theater. Now, being younger, you may not remember this, but back then in the 40s and the 50s, the Chicago Theater had a movie and then a stage show. It kind of like vaudeville.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And my dad took me to see Gene Autry.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Here comes the horse and he's jumping. But he had his band with them. And I do remember this specifically. He had an accordion player.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for some reason or other, I fell in love with the accordion.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where my love for the accordion came. Of course, it moved on because my dad, being Polish, I was raised with a lot of the ethnic music.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, one of my joys being out here was spending a couple years again with Polish bands from Stevens Point.
Okay.
Nice. It really is my roots. Was my roots,
right,
you know.
Right.
So I became somewhat proficient, I guess, because I was able to make a living playing the accordion, you know, until I was about 20 or 21 years old, and I was working a Holiday Inn circuit in the Chicago area. And they had four properties. And a good friend was we became good friends. His name was Bob Flannery. He was the general manager. And one day came to me. I was playing a quarter box at the piano bar.
Okay. Oh, you know, wow. Okay.
And he came up. He says, you know, Pete, this is what they call a piano bar. He says, you know, we got, I said, oh, man, now this is on the weekend. He says, is there anything you can do? Well, I finished the Saturday night, and I thought, this was a good job. I mean, I was making more money than the guy going to the factory, you know,
just playing. Yeah.
It was great. So I went out, and I bought myself it's a big box. We call them sidemen today.
Yeah.
The drummer, right? Because I couldn't play left hand. I had no left hand. I could play right hand because of the accordion.
Right, right, right.
Okay, yeah.
So I bought that thing, and it's over the weekend. I spent Sunday and Monday, because it was a 5 gig, and I pounded. My mother-in-law had a piano.
Yeah.
I went to her house with this and this, and on Tuesday I became a piano player for the Holiday Inn chain.
You just learned that quickly.
I had to.
Yeah.
It was survival. You know, you're in the business.
Yep.
Oh my God, our business.
Yeah. Our business.
Oh,
yeah.
My Lord.
It's not for the faint.
Desperation is the mother of invention, right?
Boy, yeah, I'll tell
well
you.
Said.
For that time, I put the accordion, packed it up, put it away.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pick it up until I moved here. It went over 50 years later.
Wow!
And the only reason I picked it up again was somebody, Norm Dombrowski. He has the polka band out of Stevens Point. He knew me from my days in Chicago, and you know, he says, why don't you still play in the box? We used to call it the box. No, I didn't touch the box in 50 years, you know. He said, come on, she break the box. And I did. And I'm going to tell you, I have fallen in love with that instrument again.
That's so cool.
And this has been, you know, this area and this town has been some kind of magic for me. There's somebody up there that says, Ravel, I want you to go there because it's going to be good for you, and it really, really has been.
You mentioned the accordion being a first love. Did you love the piano or learn to love the piano?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right on. Cool.
Absolutely.
Cool.
It's you know, it's that I guess all musicians say about their instrument, but there's no end to things you hear and try to do and move. It's you get to the point, or I do. I feel like. Even I don't plan it this way, but I never seem to be able to play the same song the same way. Every time I do it, but you hear these weird things, what they call.
Right, right, right. You mentioned piano, and for me, my favorite is Thelonious Monk. I think of him right away when I think of the piano, just the instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
For you, when it comes to influences, what are some of the first things, names that come to mind? You mentioned Gene Autry there.
Nat King Cole.
Oh,
that it was first and foremost, and I still... He has had the ability, if you listen to his recording, he can play never simplistic, but so graceful and melodic, and yet he had chops like what, you know, we consider the big guys.
Yeah.
My gosh, he was unreal. Yeah. Just unbelievable.
People forget that when he started out, he was strictly a pianist. He did not sing at all. In fact, when he started singing, people got upset because you're not doing jazz anymore. He's doing pop now, kind of thing. Yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
See, they've been complaining about that with artists forever. As far as like crossing over and stuff like that. That's hilarious.
Oh, sure. I mean, but I have to tell, can we go back to the chords in
Absolutely.
Just a bit? It is one of the most misunderstood instruments. It's all over the world. It's an accepted instrument in cultures.
Yeah.
Boy, if you ever have the opportunity, you probably have, but any of the folks ever have the opportunity, listen to something like Gypsy Jazz.
Yes. Yes.
It features a court, and these guys, they play so much, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell you something, a lot of people don't know that some of our most famous artists were accordion players. Billy Joel.
Really?
Yeah, he was an accordion player. As a matter of fact, did you know? He wrote the song "The Piano Man," and probably his most famous piece. But when he wrote it, it was called "The Accordion Man."
Huh?
Really?
Wow!
I didn't know that.
That's pretty cool.
No,
that is awesome.
Yeah, or George Shearing was a wonderful accordion player before. But I'll tell you, if you don't mind, this is out of school, and this is something you guys probably know. I had a cousin, and he was part of Elvis Presley's entourage. Now, I don't know if you're well aware of this or not, but Elvis Presley never played the accordion.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. No. Huh. But my cousin was with him when he left the building for the final time.
Wow.
And this is something you probably, I know you didn't know because it's never been written, but I got this directly. My older cousin, he's even older than me, but he told me, he says, his final words, Elvis's final words were, you know, he said it something like, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I only have one regret in life, and that is that I never learned to play the accordion. You know, had I played the accordion, I could have been somebody.
Yeah. It's a shame. What could have been?
Well, you know, think about it. There's old swivel hips there in Vegas doing a little bit of "Who Stole the Kishka?" E-I-E-I-O, you know.
He will never be Dick Contino, so, you know.
Nice.
You got it. But that's the truth.
Because
you know me, Polish Catholic, I don't fib.
In the sunshine of our smile, in the summer of our life, in the magic of love, storms above scattered away. Lovers dreaming in the night, reaching for a pair of eyes.
sandy stretch of beach, in the pattern of the waves, drawing pictures with my hands. In the sand I see your face, skipping pebbles on the sea, wishing for paradise. Sand castles crumble below, the restless tides, they ebb and flow, listening to a shell, hoping for your voice. Beautiful Maria, my soul, oh my soul. Forever in a dream, if I ever love again, even then nothing will change, and the taste of you remains, clinging to paradise. But as the distance from you grows, all that my heart ever knows, hunger for your kiss, longing for your touch. Beautiful Maria, oh my soul, filling all my nights,
join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30, where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more, so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Pete Revelle joining us right now. I wanted to get into collaborating with you. Pete, of course, one of the things that you are well known for in this area is working with Four on the Floor.
Yes.
You and those guys have been doing this for a long time. I know my mom worked at the library for years, and one of her favorite things was you guys being there and performing and how she felt like she got a concert. And you know, she was working, but she was really just a fan and just taking in the music. Yeah. I'm curious for you. You told us your beginnings and working solo, doing a lot of that. How did Four on the Floor come together, and what is it about? We'll get into the rest first. How did they come together?
It began when we moved back from, I lived in Prescott, Arizona for about 12 years.
Okay.
And as most men know, there's only one boss in any house.
Yeah.
And it's not us.
Yes.
Well, the boss in our house decided that the grandchildren were in Wisconsin and not in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So we came back here, and somehow or other, a gentleman named Earl Garber. Earl is a lot of people knew, you know, from the time. It gave me a call, and he says, you know, we got this cultural center here, and they got a piano, and I played trumpet for many years. How about coming down and let's... So anyway, I met Earl that way, and he got a hold of some old friends of his, Cecil Livington. Cecil was a bass player, and he actually played with the Marshfield Symphony for many, many years. And Kubicek, Francis Kubicek. He was our drummer. And I'll tell you, I just as a side note, we did some recording with that particular group, and he was 90 years old. And 90-year-old people do not know how to sing other than Tony Bennett. But, you know, you don't. You can hardly talk. I shouldn't say that.
You're good.
No, but I could tell myself I don't have the chops I had when I was younger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he could sing a wonderful song. Well, anyway, that evolved into, because what happens, they got older than, the first one was Francis, he passed away. Mm. And so we picked up, and then Earl couldn't make it anymore. Yeah. And it evolved into our group today, which is Kevin Fitbrotten is playing trumpet with us. I don't know if you fellas are aware of Kevin Stellman.
Yes.
Yeah. Kevin is a wonderful guitar player.
Yes.
Oh, but you know what he did? He said, I want to play drums. I said, okay. Yeah, he went out and bought the drums. He came, and he's the drummer with our group now.
Nice.
Glenn Runnels, for many years, Glenn was the engineer at the library for all the shows.
That's right, yes.
That was, and he is world-class fiddle player.
He plays the
devil out of it. And we're talking over a period of about 12 years now.
Yeah.
We started with us. At that time, I was the kid.
Mm.
Now, they opened the door for me.
But the turn of events. That's
isn't it? I never thought, you know.
When it comes to jazz, which is certainly what you guys are known for, what you guys do, and in your careers, you've been telling us music that you go to quite a bit. Is there something about jazz that pulled you in? Is there something about jazz that at any whatever age it was that it hit your eardrums that made you, this is my stuff?
Yeah, it's what I find in jazz is you can take any song that has some type of musical composition to it. Mm-hmm. One thing you gotta have, I mean, in my world, you gotta have nice songs with changes.
Yeah.
And man, I one time did a thing with the high school, and we said, what is, you know, the question came, well, what is jazz? Mm-hmm. And I think the best way to put it is this. I want to take a ride from Rapids to Stevens Point, okay? So normally the best way and the easiest and straight way, or if you were to put a chart up, you would go 54, boom, and you got, right? Now, what jazz is, it's waking up and saying, you know, I got to get the points, but I'm tired of this route. Tired of this route. And what I'm going to do is I want to take these back roads. I want to take a look at the river because there's things there that one can see. But eventually, these roads still all lead to my destination. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I explained it, and that's the way I feel about what jazz is.
This is why I've been trying to get him in that chair. Pete, I've been a fan of jazz literally my whole life. My mother was playing it as when I was in the womb. I came out loving it. I've never in my life heard a better description of, if I was describing to an alien what jazz is, that's what the description I would use. That was awesome. That was great.
Well, thank you.
And it also speaks to the how it pulled you in, the passion. Yeah, you don't give a description like that without loving the music, the genre and everything.
Absolutely.
It's also one of the things that I love about Four on the Floor and what you guys have done is there's so many young people that have gotten turned on to jazz, maybe because of you guys, or certainly when you hear something live and in person as opposed to a CD or a record anything, it hits you different.
Definitely.
I don't even know how many people that maybe you have hit or influenced or gotten at least get into the genre or turn on to it, listen to it, pull out some Bradford Marcellus or something, or look into Charlie Parker or any of these greats. That music, I feel like, is first off America, and more so, it's the soul of our country. To lose that is to lose something that we can't get back. You know, so keeping this stuff alive, what you guys are doing, I think is really important. I think it's great to keep this stuff going. When it comes to being able to do these shows at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, Pete does the first and third Thursday of the month. Him and Four on the Floor, you can catch at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Mm-hmm. How important is it to you to be able to have something like this to with the community, the connection you have?
It's become kind of magic. It's mm-hmm. not only do we see the thing about the cultural center, because of the time that we do it, it's probably more done for people my age. What is so nice is, you know, you see people coming in that we had a hard time with mobility. Mm-hmm. And it just kills me about it is when they'll come in, right now we start at 2:00 and we play till 4 or whatever, sometimes. But people will actually just sit there for 2 hours, and especially again, going to people my age or myself. My attention span isn't what it was when I was, there's no jumping. And yet they'll come. And we always, these days, we get a nice group of, just a nice turnout. But they come and they stay. And I just stand and say, my gosh, we got to be doing something right, fellas. Yep. Let's not. Yep. But I do have to say this, since the addition of Kevin Stillman, that man, he is out of his mind.
Yes, yes.
And you never know what's going to.
His son Ty is a family friend. Him and my sister go way back, and I've known Ty forever. Ty is one of the more natural musicians I've ever seen. I didn't know this about him until I got to know him a little bit, and he's walking around. There's a piano over here, and he just walks past it, and with one hand just starts playing a little like Count Basie or something. I knew he could play drums. I didn't even know he could play it. I'm like, Ty, what are you doing over there? Just messing around. I'm like, no, that's not that's wow. That family is incredibly talented. He's a great part of that band. You are an integral part of it too, sir. We're going to talk more about them and some other stuff when we come back from break here on Director's Cut at WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Cloudy skies expected tonight with a chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 54. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 65. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 46. Partly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 65.
Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Cut. James and Seth here, sitting with our good friend Pete Ravel. Pete, thanks again for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
I got to get to a quick story before we go too far along.
Please.
So I was it was one of the first years I was hosting emceeing at FRM Fest. And you were playing. You and Four on the Floor were playing. And you were killing it. And I came in late. And Connie tells me, okay, you've got one of your jobs is going up there and pulling the bands off and bringing out the new band, introducing, you know, the new and that, and segueing. And I was like, I feel very confident about this. I feel very good. You know, I can go up there and do that. I go up there, and you guys are jamming and playing, and you sound great. And I kind of come up, and Connie was like, yeah, tell Pete we gotta end the set and everything. And I look over at you, and I'm going to try to give you a sign that to end things. And you smile at me. And I immediately smile back. And I completely forget what I'm up there for. And I turn around and go right off the stage. And as I'm walking off the stage, I'm like, wait a minute. I was supposed to do something. And I go back out there. And the same thing happened again. So it was the third time that I came out there that I was able to kind of give you the signal to let you know. But it was a blast. It was such a cool moment, Pete. I don't have a lot of musical moments. That is as close as I may come to having a musical moment. It was a real fun time, but I bring up FRM Fest because of the impact you've had on this area. You don't play that show if Connie and them don't think it's relevant and it's noteworthy, you know, and supporting local artists like you, Four on the Floor, that such a FRM, such a thing for FRM. How much did you enjoy playing that fest?
Oh, it was cool. Yeah, I mean, just was cool. We, you know what it was? Too fast.
Yeah.
There's so many things I wanted. I said, you know what? I want to do this. You're out of time. We're out of time.
Crazy. Pete, I wanted to make sure to get to this, too. You had a claim to fame. You had a pretty brush with fame, as you like to put it. I wanted to touch on this.
Oh, so I was in Chicago. I was part of the Versa Records. It was, mm-hmm. That was my recording company. Mm-hmm. And the engineer, and of course, and I, we were tight as thieves, you know, mm-hmm. Everything. And so he would always, something would come up. He said, would you go write a song about this, write a song. And we'll, so he would come up. I did one about, he says, you know, the TV show that I Dream a Genie. Why did you come up with a song of that? I said, oh, well, okay. Anyway, and it was, you know, so I wrote one. It was bubblegumish and whatever. But it was, you know, but anyway. He was in contact with Paul Gallus. Paul Gallus was a major player in mm-hmm. the music industry in Chicago back mm-hmm. then. And he says, look, they're producing this movie in California. It's called The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for songs. They're looking for music for this thing. So he says, why don't you go? Well, okay, Paul. You know. Anyway, I wrote a song for it.
Yeah.
And the way it finally evolved, it actually started with, this is crazy, the song is going to, it's going to go to California because it's going to be under review. And we had papers that we signed with Jimmy Van Leer was a big promoter. Yeah. And I wound up going out to California myself to see a fella in the Capitol building named, they called him Crazy Carl. But it moved, and it was what was supposed to happen with it. They had talked. It would either be played either a beginning at the credits or the end at the credits or one or whatever. They were looking for something.
Mm.
And I had decided then that I saw at the car dealer, I saw Carmen Ghia, and I was just about ready to buy it. Nice. Yeah, that was going to be, this is it, man. Yeah, we made to make time.
Go ahead and spend the money.
But again, as you know,
yeah, the industry.
This business is strange.
Yeah.
I got beat up by Tubular Bells.
That's right.
It happens. It happens.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
It's so, but it's that close. How easily that could have gone the other direction and everything. And it is a good song. You played it for us. So, I mean, it is a good song.
Well,
I can see why you sent it.
You know what's funny? I did a lot of recording, whatever, and just records. I can't find them. Any. I think in movie or they become. Anyway, I did find a copy of the original, the one that we did, and I brought it here, and hopefully maybe we can give it a little
sound.
The one thing, I did the vocals at Termars. Termars was Chess Records in Chicago.
Yeah.
And after we did the vocal, Jimmy Van Leer that's the fellow we had signed with. The Chicago Symphony was finishing a session.
Whoa.
And he says, Ravel, we got to get some strings out here. And he says, the boys are over here. So I had the strings from the Chicago Symphony actually played on this particular recording.
Wow.
It was just like, how much? It's $100 a guy. And I'll tell you what, they listened to it once. The four guys, they listened to it one time. That's all. No chart, nothing.
That's amazing.
Ripped
amazing.
It out. That was it. $100.
Incredible.
See you later, 15 minutes.
Wow.
I call out to the one I hope will free my soul. Encased in hateful passions, they're beyond. Must believe this sorrow is inside of me. Destroying all my sense of decency. I don't know if tomorrow will be soon enough. Oh, exorcist, please set me free.
You mentioned to us early on, Pete, that you got into music at a young age. Are there other creative outlets for you? Are there other things you like doing? You paint? You knit? Do you, are there any sports you like? I mean, are there other outlets you have?
I umpired.
Yeah.
I was a baseball umpire for 20 years.
Wow.
Nice.
Right, I didn't know this. Gosh.
In fact, I just got an email. They're looking for umpires for a tournament. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah,
no.
But I get tempted. You know, I got to do that. You know, I'll tell you what happened. I stopped umpiring at 75 because all of a sudden a fastball became very fast. I'm behind him. And I said, oh, no, I'm starting to flinch. Yeah, you know? I said, yeah. Nah, I think that's enough of this.
Yeah.
How'd you get into that? How'd you get into umpire?
My wife was very ill at the time. We're going back to the turn of the last century,
okay.
You know, and it was in the 1990s,
mm-hmm.
And I was caretaker,
mm-hmm.
And it was anybody knows, you know, if you are, it's a 24/7 job, you know, and just they were looking for umpires for our little league, and it was like, you know, hey, if I can do this, I had. Someone says, why don't you, I'll take care of the house. Mm. If you want to go for a couple hours. So I volunteered. I started as a volunteer, you know. And once it started, it's like snowballed. Then it was high school.
Yeah.
And when I umpired in Arizona, it was the tournaments, a little bit of college ball.
Bring it up.
Wow.
And I think I liked it. I don't know. It scared the devil out of me. I say that ball because how in the heck can a human being at 60 feet away hit a 90-mile-an-hour ball? And now they're cranking it up to 100. Are they nuts or Michael?
I still think you can make the argument it's the hardest thing to do in sports. Hitting a baseball. Just hitting it, let alone making contact, making it do something.
Right.
And it's the balls. You have to see it. If you see it from an umpire's perspective, it drops and it snakes and it's, oh my Lord.
I don't think I could hit a knuckleball like in my best, at my prime. Like I could even, Charlie Huff right now, throwing a knuckleball, I still couldn't. Do you have any pre-show rituals? Do you have any things that you like to do before you hit the stage? Anything that you've got to do before you hit the stage?
I can't eat.
Oh my God! Yes, I'm the same.
Get out of here, or just we're working. Hey, why don't we? Will you maybe a little libate? Are you? That's all I need in the ball games. Yeah. I have to be. If I know we're gonna play, coffee and that's all. And until afterwards, I'll make up for it after.
I hear you. Yes, Lord. Yes. Got a huge appetite. That's interesting. A couple of questions I always like to ask people, Pete. Is as far as a dream venue, a place that you've never gotten to play that you always wanted to, Madison Square Garden, Red Rocks. Oh. Thankfully for me, you already got in one that I had. I've always wanted to play the Chicago Theater. Since a little kid growing up in that city, that was the theater to me. The Goodman, it was the place.
You guys, it's funny you should say that because that's always been in my mind. I was with the Playboy Corporation for a lot of years. Yeah. That was a great venue. You know what? I want to say this. In many ways, they have maybe not the greatest reputation, but if you're a worker for them, and even the girls, I'm going to tell you, their everything is strict. Everything was above board.
Yeah,
we can kind of talk to people. You don't mix with anything, with anybody. Yeah. And absolutely, as far as the girls, most of the girls, you know, these were kids that were working their way through college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
you
could make a good buck.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got nothing but good things to say about my experience with that.
So is there a place you'd play? Is there a venue you've always wanted to play? Is it the Chicago Theater?
I saw that. And, I've been there more than one time. And it's a, man, this would be the...
Just, there's something about walking in there.
It's magic.
Yeah, it really is. Gosh. Just thinking about it, like it goes bumps. Yeah, there's something about it. Pete, our final questions. For one, where can people hear your music other than catching Pete and Ravel Four on the Floor every first and third Thursday of the month over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center? They kick. They start off at 2, right? You guys start about 2?
Yeah, 2 to 4.
You can catch them every first and third Thursday of the month at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Can people catch your get your music online or anything? Or?
Well, let me say, we are at the library now.
Yes.
Normally, it's the fourth Thursday of every month, although this month it's going to be next week because there's something booked on the board.
Yeah. Okay.
But on a regular basis, I would say 10 to 12 times a year.
Okay.
It's a early evening show, whereas the Cultural Center is the afternoon.
Yeah.
Right.
But we're there from 6:30 till close.
Right on.
And you don't want to know something. They've done a wonderful job with that library.
Oh, really?
My goodness.
Yeah.
Sound wise, it's beautiful. You can't beat that.
Great acoustics.
Room.
Yes. Yeah,
it's just
acoustics.
Wonderful. And then we've got things around town. Aaron's, we've been in and out of Aaron's.
Cool.
Nice place.
They've got a new, used to be the Baker Street.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even over there.
We've played there, and he's interested in doing something when it's there. And of course, we're available for anything.
Yeah. I encourage people to follow you guys on Facebook as well. It's a great way to keep up to date on things.
We have a page Four on the Floor, and I've been threatening to put my nose to the stone. I got a plan. I want to now start putting something on every week. I'm gonna,
oh, nice.
But I want to make it a nice, nice production.
Yeah,
or whatever. But that's cool. In the very, very near future because we have already talked about how we're gonna do it.
Yeah,
and it's just I had the TV show on our local.
Yeah, I saw
that. And that's still available.
It's right on YouTube.
We were talking about that too.
Mm-hmm. Be sure to check that out, everybody. If you type into your YouTube search bar, Pete Ravel Show, it pops right up. You'll find it right away. Some of the better jazz you will ever hear. Pete, your final question, then you can get out of here.
Okay.
Then you're all done. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why?
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, what a curveball that is.
Yeah. We get that reaction all the time.
The thing is how... I guess I would want to. I want to sit with Nat King Cole at a piano.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
That's what.
Nice.
And I want to play. Answer. And I want to talk to him about. And I just, I have a feeling that something out of him would ooze out, and I'd become a better player for it.
Yes. We've become better at anything we do creatively going forward, Seth and I, after just being with you for a couple hours, man. Thank you so much for this, Pete. You really made our day. Thank you so much for being a part of our show.
I appreciate your time, and it was my pleasure.
Encourage you again to get into your Facebook search bar, type in Pete Ravel, Four on the Floor. You can't miss it. Like and subscribe to what they're doing. Again, you can find the Pete Ravel Show on YouTube. Type that in your search bar, and don't miss them. Pete Ravel, Four on the Floor, 2 to 4, live music every first and third Thursday of the month over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center right here in Wisconsin Rapids. It's going to do it for another episode for Seth and I of Director's Cut here at WFHR. Have a great night, everyone.
The more I see you, the more somehow this feeling just grows and grows. With every sigh I've become more mad about you, more lost without you, and so it goes. Can you imagine how much I love you? The more I see you, as years go by, I know the only one for me can only be you. My arms won't free you, my heart won't try.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and